So this is what I'm going to talk about tonight. Space science, what is Europe doing and why does it do it? You can take it that Britain is now pursuing nearly all of its space activities through Europe. So out of the three competitors in 1960, Europe won. You see the flags down the bottom there of all the nations involved. There are 15 member states, the European Space Agency. And interestingly, one country whose flag isn't there, which is a closely associated member, which we can't quite call a member because it doesn't happen to be in Europe, and that's Canada. And Canada has worked very closely with the Europeans and is almost a member, but they've got to figure out how to move that country a little closer before it's really convincing. Okay, so the question you've all asked is, why did you come to Australia? There I am looking at the map with one of my colleagues. And the answer was to find a nice patch of wilderness for this particular trip, which we certainly found, a lot of it in Australia. Very attractive place, really. And then improve on it by putting these white bits in around the side. So I'll just tell you what that is. What we were doing yesterday, something very important for Europe, we were doing it out there in the bush to the east of Perth in Western Australia. You see the ESA flag there flying with the Australian flag on the brand new site that we inaugurated yesterday with the Premier of Western Australia, Mr. Gallup. What we were there to inaugurate was the new NORSIA deep space antenna. There it is. Looks just like any other bird bath in that particular mode. And I don't think, despite the fact there are very, very tall trees down there, you can get a clear sense of the scale of that thing without recognizing, if you look in the circle there, there are very, very, very small people. This is an enormous thing. It's a skyscraper. And in fact, that was one of the problems with sighting it. We had to put it far enough away from Perth that it didn't interfere with the mobile phone systems in Perth, nor did the mobile phone systems of Perth interfere with us. And it's really hard to find a hill high enough to hide this thing. And we had to go 120, 130 kilometers away before we found a hill high enough. And then we had to persuade the local people that it really added to the landscape. Happily, they accepted us, and we're out there. I don't know if any of you know New NORSIA. It's worth a detour. I'm not sure about 130 kilometers worth of detour. It's the only monastic settlement in Australia, founded by Spanish monks, and still, the older monks still are Spanish. They came from Montserrat in Spain. And they settled originally to work with the Aboriginal people in 1847, so a long time ago. Very interesting place, and indeed, the pictures in the Perth newspapers this morning all showed the abbot, Father Placid Spirit. But it's not spirit as in white spirit or whatever, it's spirit. But it's a wonderful name for a monk, I think, Father Placid, his first name, Spirit. And he has a very placid spirit. He was blessing this. And the newspaper's got some beautiful pictures of this man in his white Benedictine robes, sort of shaking holy water at the antenna. Anyway, do go to visit New NORSIA, not to see the antenna so much as to see the very interesting Spanish monastery. Okay, let's move on then. That's why I came here, why I happen to be in Australia today. We've just opened this new antenna. I'll tell you why that's significant in a minute. We've had antennae in Australia for a long time. Carnarvon in near Perth is a site we've always used, and we've had another antenna in Perth. Nothing quite as big as that thing you just saw. What we do in space science at the moment, these are the operating spacecraft we have. Ulysses, which has been orbiting the Sun in a polar orbit now for 13 years, a very long time, very successful spacecraft, looking at the Sun from above in a way no other spacecraft has, and rather changing our view of the Sun. As the picture shows there, we went to the Sun by way of Jupiter. You might not think that's obvious for those of you with a firm grasp of the geography of the solar system, but that's, of course, how you get to places you can't go in the solar system. You have to go to other planets and use the gravity of those planets to kick you into different orbits. And down in this corner, I've got SOHO and CLUSTER, the Solar and Heliospheric Observatory, SOHO, which sits out in deep space between the Earth and the Sun. It rotates around the Sun at the same rate as the Earth, so it sort of just hangs in front of the Earth, looking continuously at the Sun, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that in a minute. It not only looks at the Sun, it looks inside the Sun. It's revolutionized our view of the Sun, because what we do is a new science called helioseismology, which is like seismology or geoseismology. It's looking at earthquakes, or rather sunquakes, and using the information from sunquakes to analyze the internal structure of the Sun. So SOHO has been the first spacecraft to look inside the Sun. With it, you've got four spacecraft called CLUSTER, making five spacecraft sort of flown in a coupled activity. The CLUSTER spacecraft fly around the Earth and look at the way that solar disturbances impact the terrestrial environment. So SOHO and CLUSTER. And on these are all to do with our solar system, the Sun and the Sun and the Earth. On the other side, we have the Hubble Space Telescope. You say, surely the Americans built that. Sure they did. But we Europeans provided 15% of the effort, and indeed the solar panels were in fact built in Bristol, near where I come from, down in the west country of England. Then the spacecraft we launched 2 years ago, our first major observatory, or actually our second major observatory, looking at X-rays. You can't look at X-rays from space from the ground because of the atmosphere. X-rays are absorbed by matter, and so you can only do that X-ray astronomy from space. X-rays are emitted by very hot matter, so we're looking at very extreme parts of the universe. Things like black holes. Around the edge of a black hole, material falling in emits X-rays. And so we look at the most extreme objects in the universe. There are there two deep space missions. One is SOHO and the other is Ulysses. That is, by deep space, they go far from the Earth. They're not just orbiting immediately above our heads, so to speak. As a result, because we didn't have any deep space capability, we have to rely on the Americans for operations of those spacecraft. We had no choice. We couldn't see the spacecraft, so to speak, couldn't pick up the radio signals from them without access to the American deep space network. New Norcia, which we've just opened, is our first step to independence on that. And from now on, Europe has its own deep space capability. It's not that we're particularly anti-American. It's rather that there's getting to be something of a traffic jam up there, and we have to start helping out our American colleagues.